This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Junks are brought to you by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You can join their team today. We'll be joined shortly by Sebastian Maniscalco. Hopefully, he'll be performing at Capital One Arena this weekend as part of his tour.
I'm going. It's going to be awesome.
Very good.
Going with two other couples.
Mm-hmm.
Big night out. Go see Sebastian Maniscalco.
Very good.
He just sold out Madison Square Garden five nights in a row.
I mean, that's pretty sick. I mean, that's, like when he started doing stand-up, there's no way that he was ever thought that he would play Madison Square Garden, let alone sell it out five consecutive nights.
Was his big break just kind of like Seinfeld blowing him up? Or was he way bigger than before that?
I think the internet helped blow him up. He can talk about it. He's going to join us here in seconds. But he had a couple of specials which just blew up.
Yeah, but I mean, but even to get the specials,
he was. I think we had Vince Vaughn on the show like 20 years ago, and he was part of the Vince Vaughn tour.
Okay,
that we promoted on the show maybe 20 years ago.
Well, he's joining us now on the BetQL guest hotline. It's Sebastian Maniscalco. He's performing at Capital One Arena Saturday. For your tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com. Sebastian, thanks for taking time, man. We appreciate it.
Wow, Vince Vaughn comedy show. That was 2005. So, yeah, that was over. That's about 25 years ago.
What we were asking right before you got on, what was your big break? Like, you know, I mean, what did you say? How many days in a row did you sell out Madison?
Five nights at Madison Square Garden, which
when
is
you
crazy.
First started, whenever the hell that was, I can't imagine you would imagine that. And then, but what was the break that kind of put you over?
You know, I think it was that Vince Vaughn comedy show that I left. I was waiting tables at the Four Seasons in L.A., and I had to ask for 30 days off to do the Vince Vaughn tour with the assumption that I would come back waiting tables on day 31. But that never happened. Vince Vaughn kind of took me out of the whole waiting tables, and I started making a living in 05. So I think that was kind of my break into doing stand-up comedy for a living. But yeah, it's been crazy since then. And you mentioned the five shows at the Garden, which was last week. And I had, my wife, my kids, they came up on stage with me. My parents came up on stage. And now I'm in Pittsburgh coming to D.C. Saturday night during an election year. I mean, come on. This is a whirlwind for me.
Yeah, so the MSG thing, I can't get away from that. Because, like, five nights in a row, that's like Billy Joel, like rarefied air at Madison Square Garden. Like, that's a huge accomplishment. I'm sure that, like, while you had your family up there, you're just like drinking that whole thing in.
I think every Italian in the tri-state area came to the show. I mean, the amount of cologne that was in the building was amazing. I couldn't even perform. But, yeah, that was pretty special for myself and my family. I mean, New York City has always been great to me as far as coming out and supporting the show, and I never thought in a million years that I'd have five consecutive sellouts there. So very blessed to experience that, and just having a great time on this tour. I got my two buddies, Pete Corielli and Pat McGann, opening for me, and we're just going to these cities and really kind of taking it all in.
So, Sebastian, the guys tease me because you're my favorite comedian, and I've seen you a bunch of times. Saw you at MGM National Harbor. Going on Saturday night with a bunch of couples. It's going to be a great night. But when I first kind of discovered you, I relate to you because I'm the son of an Italian immigrant, and I can't find this bit online, but you did a bit about your dad, I think, mowing the lawn, and it reminded me of my dad so much. And recently, in your last special, you talked about your wife's nightstand. This morning, I counted maybe 15 things on my wife's nightstand.
I don't know what's going on with the nightstands and what women put on there, but mine is pretty clean. I mean, there's a lamp and my cell phone, and I look at hers, and it looks like CVS. It's like, how much stuff you going to cram into the nightstand? I mean, and she has a medicine chest. You know, it's like the whole medicine chest is now on the side table. Clippers, mouth guard, Tylenol. She comes out in some eye mask or looks like a hockey goalie. I don't know what's going on at the house.
You know, one of the things.
Yeah, it's, go ahead.
Oh, I was just say one of the things you guys have talked about. And I'm wondering if you're changing more. Is that you and your wife are so different, right? She kind of likes to be social and go out, and you're trying to kind of get rid of people and limit.
Yeah.
Do you still have anxiety when you go out to dinner parties and that sort of thing?
Yeah, my wife like brings home strays, not dogs, but people.
Right.
You know, like always looking to like go and meet a new couple or go out to dinner with a new couple, or go to a party. So she's more like a dog. I'm more like a cat. I'm constantly hiding underneath the bed, not wanting to go out and do much. But it's a good yin and yang. I mean, she definitely takes me out of my comfort zone, because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't see the light of day. Mm-hmm. But yeah, she brings me she brings us a lot more friends than I thought we would ever have. I'm 51. I'm kind of done making friends at this point. Yeah. I kind of got what I got, and but my wife's always looking to meet new people.
So when you're at home, then what are you doing then? You just stay in the basement, like.
Yeah, I'm touring. I'm around people all the time. So when I go home, I just want to relax and unwind.
Right.
And she's got a calendar of stuff for us to do. I'm like, babe, let me relax a little bit. I don't want to go to another kid's birthday party or out to Disneyland or whatever. Listen, I like doing stuff with my kids, but I need at least 48 hours to adjust.
Yes, I can't imagine. Do you play golf?
I do, but I have I had some sciatic pain ripping down my right leg, so it kind of took me off the golf course. So I've corrected that. Yeah, it's off. You guys have it? Have you had this?
Well, I've had back pain. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Sciatic, back surgeries. Yeah. Had two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you guys know. I mean, again, 51 years old, and all of a sudden, I feel like I played 12 years in the NFL.
I mean, I know. It's weird.
My body, when I get out of bed, I mean, the sounds coming out of my body are waking up my wife. She's like, are you eating potato chips? I'm like, no, that's my knees
right.
extending onto the floor. So I don't know what's going on, but I've started Pilates, and that seemed to help me correct some of my posture and my pains. But my God, overnight, it's just the body's falling apart.
Talking to Sebastian Maniscalco. He's going to be at Capital One. You can get tickets through Ticketmaster. That is Saturday night. One of my buddies who I'm going with on Saturday is an orthopedist, Dr. Petricelli, and he sent me a video because I had bicep tendonitis, and he sent me a video basically saying you're being old, and it was a video of you. What happened to your bicep?
I have no idea. There was no trauma, no nothing. I just woke up with a hole in my arm, and I was like, what's going on? I mean, I got two young kids, 5 and 7, so I'm attributing it to the fact that I was picking them up and, like, putting them in the car seat and twisting my body. Both of them are shot. Both of my biceps detached, and apparently you got to catch that right away, or you walk around with holes in your arms. So I didn't catch it right away because I was looking in the mirror, and I was like, is that a hole in my arm, or do I have, like, a tan? Sure enough, I went to the orthopedist and said, yeah, no, you snapped them off, and I can't really put them back together because it's been over, whatever, 3 months by the time I went into the doctor. So, yeah, I'm walking around with two half-an arms.
Dude, I can't even imagine. He can't reattach your biceps?
No. No, I guess you got to catch it within 6 weeks, and then if you don't catch it within that time frame, that They can't.
So is it like all balled up though? Does it like that? That's what happens to your hamstring when you rip it off. Like you know.
Yeah, I don't know.
The leg, it like curls up. So at least you probably have a pretty big bicep now.
Well, I mean, it's the smaller. It's the smaller of the two.
Uh-huh.
So it's not the one that my dad snapped his major one. So to your point, his bicep is in his elbow. So he looks like. He looks like Popeye walking around, and he's still cutting hair. This guy's 80 years old. He's still doing hair.
Wow.
With no bicep, and he's still doing blowouts. I don't know how he's doing it, but that generation is a different breed.
Your dad's a grinder, cutting hair at 80. Good for him.
So I said, "What are you going to do? Die behind the chair doing a perm?" I mean, this guy's still going to work at 80 years old and cutting people's hair. I mean, God bless him. That's his outlet, but. He talk about falling apart. He was 5'10". He's 5'5" now. I don't know what happened.
That's what happens. Hey, I work with a couple guys here who literally worship TJ Maxx, and I know it's an old bit of yours.
Love it.
But tell them why they're wrong.
Well, every time I go into any of these discount stores, whether it be TJ Maxx, Ross Dress for Less, everything's on the floor, everything's erect.
But Ross is the worst. I'm above Ross.
Sebastian, you're a man of means. Why are you even in a Ross Dress for Less or TJ Maxx? What are you doing?
This bit was 25 years old.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a dated bit. Okay, I get it now. Now it makes sense.
No, but those stores, I mean, you'll find, you know, forks in jeans over there. They got so many displaced things at these discount stores, and I haven't been into a TJ Maxx in a while, but I remember when that bit originated, my father and I went into a Ross Dress for Less in Los Angeles the first time I moved there around 1998, and he looked around the store and he goes, "We might have to move back to Chicago. You're not living like this." He was completely appalled.
So you obviously are at a different financial level now, and you're hanging with Jerry Seinfeld all the time. Has the dinner situation changed in terms of the bill? Like, what is Jerry's move, your move at dinner?
You know, I haven't gone out with Jerry in a while, although Jerry opened up for me at the Garden. I brought him out as a surprise guest, which was unbelievable.
That's a power that's move right there. That's a power move.
He had never done the Garden before. He came out there, he did 20 minutes, and the crowd was, you know, over the moon. They couldn't believe they were seeing Seinfeld. So, but as far as the dinners is concerned, what I notice when you go out with these high net worth individuals, you don't even see the bill. I mean, the bill don't even come to the table. I don't know what they do or how they do it, but I think they just prepay before they even get there. So it's a great move. I want to start doing that because I don't like going out to dinner and then everybody kind of, hey, let me get it. Let me do it. I mean, the way to do that is you just pay right when you get in. You give the credit card to the host,
right.
and you're done with it, right?
Right.
I mean, come on. We're 50 years old. We're still fighting for the bill.
Right. Well, Sebastian, we appreciate the time. You've always been great to us with that over the years. You'll be in town at Capital One Arena Saturday. People can go to Ticketmaster.com to get what few tickets I'm sure are left. Thanks again, man. We appreciate it.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too, man.
Thank you, buddy.
That's Sebastian Maniscalco.
Huh?
Good dude. And JP's going to the show, and I'm sure it'll be a great time.
Can you imagine that? So Seinfeld, like, iconic, as big a name as there is in the business. He's never actually played the Garden. And listen, Sebastian's a man of his own star.
Mm-hmm.
But to have to follow Jerry Seinfeld?
Ooh. In New York?
No. Let me just tell you something.
Brutal.
They did
a nice move by him to go up and
obviously he's not intimidated by it.
Jerry Seinfeld hasn't opened for anybody in 40 years.
Right.
No.
40.
I can tell you this. Maniscalco kills so much because I saw Seinfeld. I was so like one of these long drives and I was listening to, I think Seinfeld was on with like David Spade, whatever his podcast is. And they did a show with four heavy hitter comedians, and I don't know who the fourth was, but it was Seinfeld, Jim Gaffigan, Maniscalco, and I can't remember who the fourth is, but they would pick their name out of the hat to who was going first, and Seinfeld said, he goes, "You don't want to go after Maniscalco."
Right.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
ultimate respect.
Because he brings down the house.
Yeah. I'm not disrespecting Maniscalco, and I know he has his own thing, and he's huge. But just the mindset, I'm just like, wow, I can't believe that I got to go on after
Seinfeld. Yeah, I know. It's got to be intimidating. All right, when we come back, we're going to give you a chance to win two tickets to see Thomas Rhett Better in Boots tour when it comes to Jiffy Lube Live, August of 2025. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets on an Open Line Thursday here on The Fan.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back to an Open Line Thursday brought to you by Window Nation. Searching for new windows and doors? Search windownation.com. Their windows are measured to fit the first time and installed by experts to last. Window Nation for your home, because it's where you live. Keep listening, because at the end of the segment, we'll give you a chance to win two tickets to see Thomas Rhett Better in Boots tour. It comes to Jiffy Lube Live in late August of 2025. So keep listening for your chance to win those, because that's coming up very soon. What else is happening soon? NFL Week 4. It starts tonight. And we have been reborn. We have been resurrected. We were bounced out of the Circus Survivor Pool in Week 1 because we took the stupid Cincinnati Bengals and they couldn't beat
Give the listeners the number of, or the percentage of people who have already been eliminated in the circle pool.
Through 3 weeks, 96% of the field has been eliminated from the Circus Survivor Pool.
Through three weeks.
Wow.
I mean, we've
so 14,000 plus were in, yeah, and there's about 500 left.
Something around there.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
Think about that. 3 weeks.
That's all that's left. I think we were eliminated last year, like week 8 or 9.
We lasted, if memory serves
correct. It was, I know, I remember our pick. We lost because we took the Ravens, and I believe they lost to the Colts.
Yes, at home.
At home. I think Tucker had a chance for like a long field goal to maybe tie it or win it, missed it, if my memory serves correct.
I think you guys were having so much fun, you didn't realize that it was only Week 4 that happened.
Did that happen in week 4 last year?
It was a lot earlier than you thought.
Wow. Yeah.
It was early.
I thought it was longer. I thought we had a longer run.
Well, it's because we did the same bit where we did a rebuy.
And then we did a rebuy, yeah.
And how long did that last? Couple weeks.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So we're not back in the Circus Survivor Pool. We're in a smaller Survivor Pool.
A kiddie pool.
Kiddie games down the street. We have to make our survivor pick for this week. We can't pick tonight's game, but we can pick any game on the slate Sunday. So it's time to put our heads together, battle each other, try to figure out who our survivor pick is.
Oh, I was going to push for tonight's game.
Well, you can't.
Oh, you were going to take
off the board.
You were,
all right,
take
I got to look at the rest of the board. I did. Oh. You know, I gave you all those numbers earlier this year.
Uh-huh.
I mean, earlier in the show.
Who would you have taken?
I've taken the Cowboys.
Well, I don't.
Dak 12-0.
I would have immediately shot you down just because the Cowboys' defense is so bad. I just can't trust them right now.
I'm not saying you're wrong. If I had to bet the game money line, I would take Dallas. But it's dicey. I want to take a home team.
All right, one jumps out at me. This isn't a home team, but I'm going to put in my vote for the Pittsburgh Steelers then, because Anthony Richardson looks lost right now.
He does.
He's going to face a Steelers defense that isn't even giving up 10 points a game. I know that their offense in Pittsburgh is challenged, but I think Anthony Richardson's struggles continue. That just jumped out at me, and I know the line isn't humongous. I'm not going to go by the conventional things. I would like to advocate the Steelers getting to 4-0 against a Colts team that has a quarterback that already has 6 interceptions on the year.
I don't love that pick. I don't even casually like that pick.
It's kind of a dicey pick. Just because it's Pittsburgh, who doesn't score a lot of points. Defense is great.
I mean,
but they're on the road.
They're on the road. They are favored by 2 points, but it just seems that seems like a thin play to me.
You're picking a pick'em game, essentially.
Yeah. EB, the Broncos scored 6 against them.
It doesn't mean
the Falcons and Kirk Cousins scored 10. The Chargers scored 10 against them.
All right.
If you've watched Anthony Richardson in the last couple weeks, he looks lost. He does. All the praise
he's
after week one.
He's also explosive and can break out.
It's possible. But I think T.J. Watt gets the quarterback every week.
He
that
likes
defense
that.
Is
he
I'm not
he,
saying the
he
game won't hit, but yeah. That can't be the best.
Well,
that can't
you,
be the
I
surest
can tell
bet.
You this with certainty.
Sell me on another.
Right. I can tell you this with certainty. That will not be the pick because the three of us are squarely aligned against it.
Yeah.
All right, let's see if you guys are unanimous for something else.
All right, look, I'm a little biased.
Yeah.
The 49ers have not been good, especially defensively. They've got some serious injuries. They just lost Hargrave for the year, defensive tackle. But they're playing the Patriots, and they're the biggest favorite on the board at home. They're a 10-point favorite. They have to win this game. They can't fall to 1-3.
And the Patriots looked like just garbage set on fire against the Jets.
Yes, they did.
They were terrible.
I like Purdy's better than Brissett. Mason's a really good backup to McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. The defense will play better. They're not facing an explosive offense. And like I said, I want to play a home team that has to win, that's a big favorite. I think San Francisco should be the play.
I mean, Jacoby Brissett was battered during that game last week. I think he sacked 7 or 8 times in that loss.
You might see. Now, I like Drake May, but you might see Drake May in this game.
You know what a home team that had to win last week was? Cincinnati Bengals.
Oh, that's true.
And
but
it didn't work out.
Yeah, but you know what? They're not facing the quarterback play that they faced in Washington.
Listen,
or against Washington.
It jumped out at me right away, and then I saw the line. I think it is the biggest, right?
It is the biggest. 10-point favorite.
I actually also like the Jets over the Broncos.
I like that
as well. I also like that game.
Yeah.
I don't know what the Bucs were doing to just let Bo Nix actually look decent in a game. I just think the Jets' defense is another level up or two. And I think they're just going to make life miserable
for Bo Nix
and company. Do you
think the Broncos traveled back to Denver?
They didn't.
All right. Because they played
Tampa. I think
they're
training at the Greenbrier. Because I saw a picture of Sean Payton with Frank Beamer.
Gotcha.
Hanging out.
Broncos may not be as bad as you think. They lost to the Seahawks in the opener, 6-point game. In Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Very tough place to play. That's Bo Nix's first game ever against the Seahawks on the road. Then they played the Steelers. We talked about that. The best defense in the league right now. Lost by a touchdown there.
Yeah.
Well, one of the Broncos might surprise you.
The one thing I really worry about of the Broncos is when Patrick Surtain lines up across from any wideout in the league.
They don't do anything.
That wideout becomes completely neutralized. Look at what he did to Mike Evans last week in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably going to do the same thing to Garrett Wilson. But if I have to bet, I'm going to bet on Aaron Rodgers and Breece Hall, that combo, over Bo Nix and that weird backfield they have in Denver. So I do like that game. I also like the Niners. I like.
What's your top game?
There's another game I kind of like, too.
What's your top game, Cakes?
I think I give a slight nod to the Niners just because the point spread's a little higher. And I just think the Patriots are trash. I don't believe in their offense.
What about the other game we talked about?
The Jets?
The Jaguars-Texans game?
The Texans?
I feel like the Texans at home, the Jaguars coming off that just shellacking at the hands of the Bills. Like, there's unrest on the sidelines there. You can tell between Trevor Lawrence and Doug Peterson. Apparently, Shad Khan, the owner of the team, was despondent and, like, visibly upset about how bad they looked. But that's a division game. Like,
they
I feel like they need a bounce back. I just don't know if it's coming against
the Texans. But the Texans were embarrassed last week.
They were.
And now they're coming back home.
The Niners play makes the most sense.
I like that game, but I don't like it as much as the other two.
Okay. Mr. Bickle?
I don't know, man. I think the Niners are going to win that game 9 times out of 10.
How about 49 times out of 10?
I mean, you know, I hate to kind of, I still think they're a decent team, even though they might have all these injuries and everything.
Kittle's been limited in practice, but they think he might go. He's got a hammy. Purdy had the back issue, but he's fine.
I mean, Purdy's definitely playing, right?
He's going to go.
I have another late entry.
I'm a huge Purdy guy, so I would lean Niners.
I'm going to throw a wild card into the mix, and this will upset Jason because it's not a home team. What about the Chiefs visiting the Chargers before the Chargers bye? Justin Herbert's banged up. He may not play. They've got a bunch of injuries. Their top two offensive linemen banged up. Like, I just see the Chiefs going in and giving the Chargers the and business.
It doesn't look like Herbert's going to go.
Right.
I mean, his ankle
so that's
going to
be your
who,
boy.
Who's his backup?
Your boy.
Taylor Heineke. They have a bye in week 5. Harbaugh and company might just, like, they would never admit this, but they might be like, you know what? We're just going to get through the game as quick as we can. Try to have no more injuries.
I do like
Chiefs
it.
Are just a better team.
They're optimistic, though, about Herbert playing, from what I'm reading.
I read that has he practiced at all?
Limited on Wednesday.
I don't love that game as much as the Broncos game and the Niners game, but it's just another one to consider. Just throw it on the fire.
Well, look. When do we have to have the play in?
By this weekend.
What, right before the game starts?
I mean, I can consult with draft.
Because if we hear on Sunday when the inactives come out,
yeah,
that Herbert's out, I'd be all over the Chiefs.
Now, the problem with that is that's a late game.
That's true.
So we'll be burning. But the Niners is probably a late game too.
It is. It's 4 o'clock, 4:25. Yeah.
So
we have two options there in the games.
It doesn't matter. I would go with either one of those and feel pretty confident. I like the Niners more. But
yeah, I like the Niners. I think they're going to win.
I like the Niners more, but I mean, of course the Chiefs are going to beat.
All right, my official pick is in.
Go ahead.
I'm picking the Niners. If the Niners can't bounce back after a bad loss against the Rams to a Patriots team that got butt lucky to win in week 1. They just faced an opponent that wasn't ready for them in week 1. They've done literally nothing since. Niners have to get to 2-2 to keep pace in the NFC West. My pick is in. My pick is the Niners.
I'm with you. I think the Niners is the best play.
I'm Niners.
There we go.
I'm outvoted.
What do you think? Do you not agree that it's a big
play? No, I think it's a very smart play. Yeah. But, you know, the Steelers jumped out at me.
It's like a pick'em game.
I'd rather go with a team with a 10-point spread than a team with a 2-point spread.
Yeah, we did that in week 1.
Yeah.
The Niners could be falling into, I don't think it is going to happen, but could be falling into the old lose the Super Bowl slump that often happens to teams where they end up missing the playoffs the next year.
Now look, if the Niners...
This is the game, because if they fall to 1-3... with all those injuries, there's going to be a lot of question marks.
The only way the Patriots win that game is if Ramondre Stevenson did what he did in week 1. If he's able to rush for 120 yards and they control the clock and they turn the Niners over and limit them to like 17 points, the Patriots have a shot at winning the game. I just feel like that is a huge outlier. I feel like it's much more possible that the Niners control the clock. Jordan Mason carries the ball 20 times.
Mm-hmm.
Purdy's efficient. I mean, Juwan Jennings isn't going to do what he did last week, but he can be a factor with guys sidelined. Hopefully Kittle's back. Do you have any update on Kittle?
He's been limited in practice. He's got a hammy, but they feel pretty good about it.
Okay, they could use him back.
Good news, anyway.
They are missing a lot of pieces.
I know.
That does... Give me pause.
We're picking a team that's missing certainly their two best offensive weapons.
Right.
And if Kittle doesn't play, 3 of their top 4.
Right. Doesn't give you pause.
Well, I saw what he did with Jennings, right?
Look, and I understand JP's plight.
Niners are pretty good against the run, too.
JP was me in week 1 when I was telling you guys, hey, what about the Saints over the Panthers? And it was dismissed. So I understand his approach. Because we are all seemingly in lockstep on the Niners.
No, it's fine. I think it's a good play.
I feel like that's the best play that's available to us. There's not a lot jumping out at me on this board. That's one of the few that did. That and the Jets.
Matchup
I like
predictor
a lot.
On ESPN has San Francisco winning 77% of the time.
Okay. I like being a 77% favorite. Generally, that's you're going to win.
All right, so the Niners are the play.
The Niners are the play. We're in.
Niners. How much can we win in this nub pool?
I think we can win a lot.
I think it's more than you think.
I think it's up to like 250K.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Really?
It's a lot of dough. Yeah.
How much is the entry fee?
I think it's 110.
$110.
They just have that many guys in it?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Wow. It's a big pool.
Well, I should take that back. That's how much the first one was. So right. On the second one, probably substantially less.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, I'm in.
The rebuy pool.
For the loser pool.
It's what we've
loser's lounge.
It's what we've been reduced to. This is what we are at this point.
This is like when you get a felted out of a home game and you try to open up a cash game on a new table.
Yeah. It's not fun, but this is our
lot
in life.
Just waiting for more guys
and
to
look,
bust.
I just feel dicey on any game, any week.
Oh, of course.
Based on what's happened, 96% of the circuit pool out. It's the most unpredictable season we've seen in a while.
Does make me feel better. That 96% of the field's eliminated.
I would love to know that the guy probably isn't still listening at this moment, but if that guy that called in, that he had the consortium and he had like 23 guys, remember?
Yeah.
Yep. And they had six picks, I think.
Six or seven, yeah.
If they're still alive, because they should still be alive.
I thought they said they had 10.
Maybe it was.
I thought it was six or seven, but either way.
No, I'm with you. That's the smartest route to go.
That's the smartest route to go with this.
Yes.
And I would love to know if they're still. They should be through 3 weeks by managing their picks. They should still be alive.
Maybe one play left.
One or two, I would think. Let's see. I mean, they'd be literally dumb if they more than doubled up on a couple of those. That's just so dumb.
When we come back, we'll be joined by John Thompson III, Senior VP at Monumental Basketball. Right now, caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to see Thomas Rhett, Better in Boots Tour 2025, Friday, August 22nd at Jiffy Lube Live. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, go to thefandc.com/events. Caller number 10 right now wins. We'll be right back. I mean, I have to think of the scene in New Jack City when I hear this song. When Nino Brown is in the nightclub, I mean, this is the first thing I think of.
I'm 99% positive this is our next guest's walk-up song.
Well, it's a great song.
It was
That's
when
a
we
great
had
choice.
Him on all
yes.
the time.
When great had choice him by him. We're joined now on the BetQL guest hotline by John Thompson III, Senior VP at Monumental Basketball, and Monumental Sports and Entertainment are launching District of Play, a groundbreaking youth sports initiative in Washington, D.C. And JT3 is here to help tell us all about it.
Coach,
good morning.
Hey, what's up, fellas?
What's up, man?
Do you miss coaching, man?
I got to be honest.
Yeah.
If y'all didn't have Dougie playing, I was going to send somebody down there.
See, our producer has long memory for things like that. So we're in good hands there. So we're good. We had
Coach,
you covered.
Do you miss coaching? It's been a few years now.
Yeah.
I miss coaching on game days.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm fortunate with the position that I have now. Many of the elements that are rewarding with coaching, I still get a chance to do. I still get a chance to spend time with the players. I still get a chance to spend time with the coaches in preparation. You know, I don't have to worry about recruiting portal and transfer portal and NIL. But a lot of the – and I don't – in game day, yeah, I do miss game day. But other than that, it's unfortunate that a lot of the experiences that I have in this position are similar to the ones I had coaching.
Coach, when you talk to some of your buddies who are, you know, the veterans of the industry who are still dealing with this – who, you know, got into coaching years ago and all you had to do was go out and recruit the high school juniors and seniors, but now you got the portal and NIL. How do they approach it? Is it kind of driving them to think about getting out of coaching?
You guys probably know as many or close as many coaches as I do. I may get in trouble for saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know too many that are happy with their jobs right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's miserable.
Mm-hmm.
The game has changed. You know, I've had a lot of people asking me about this coach and that coach. And I said, look, I can't tell you whether he or she is doing a good job because the job is so different than the job I had. You know, nowadays, you talk about recruiting juniors. Guys are just calling their agents. You're talking to the players less. You're talking to the parents less. You're talking to coaches at a much more limited rate than before. You just let me call up their agent. Let me make an offer, and let's see whether we're going to get him or not.
Yeah, I mean, I had a buddy, your old school, I'm pretty sure, they have like a cap manager. They basically have a general manager.
Yeah.
You know?
These teams are hiring GMs.
Exactly. Did you mean Princeton?
No, I didn't mean Princeton. But who knows? I mean, it might get to that level. But, Coach, I heard there's an Ivy League kid that, you know, and you're an Ivy League guy, who that doesn't happen very often, who transferred because he got $1 million. And that's an Ivy League kid.
So two things. Actually, one thing. I have heard that also. Who knows how much you got? Mm-hmm. And two, Ivy League ball is pretty good. Now, stop sleeping on the Ivy.
I'm not saying it's terrible. It gets sent, you know, but I'm just saying still.
Right. Money's out there.
Yeah.
The money's out there.
Yeah. No, for sure. For sure. Man, so when you say your duties are still some of the coaching things, because I was talking to Drav about it. It's like, is he just going out there like playing golf with guys and making sure the courts are nice, like this initiative, you know, refurbishing things? And he says no. He thinks you're still scouting and that side. Are you doing that too?
I'm doing a little bit of everything. So the answer is yes.
Okay.
This wouldn't be fulfilling if I was as important as the District of Play initiative is.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be fulfilled if that's all I was doing. And I don't golf.
Well, I don't know. You're missing out, bro.
We're joined by John Thompson, the third senior VP at Monumental Basketball. And we see the Wiz are hosting a great event this weekend for local basketball coaches at all levels. Can you give us the details on the clinic? Who's going to be there? Some of the names that will be appearing at said clinic.
Yeah, so a couple of weeks ago, it was not that long ago, Coach Keith, our coach, comes to me and says, Coach, you know, I really want to do a clinic. You know, is it too late? Can we put that together before the season starts? You know, I don't want to charge anything. I want it to be free, and I just want to get coaches in the gym helping coaches. Mm. And so BK is like he's like a junkie.
He's like an old school guy.
The old school man. Like all he wants to do is be in the gym, don't shave, don't comb his hair, mm-hmm. and just teach and be taught.
Right.
He's very inquisitive. You know, I got my team together and said, hey, can we put something together on short notice? So this Saturday at 10 a.m. at ESA, we're having a free clinic. The speakers are going to be Ed Cooley at Georgetown, Kenny Blakeney at Howard, Dwayne Simpkins at AU, and then Coach Keith from the Wizards.
Nice.
So this is year one. We hope it'll grow. In my head, the plan is every year to have a different set of coaches participate in it, so it's not just going to be those four all the time. You know, one thing about this area, I always said that basketball in the DMV is the best in the country, and I firmly, firmly believe that. And a lot of it is not just because of the athletes, the players, but I think the coaches in this area, from the grassroots level, the junior high level, the high school level, on up, is outstanding. And so we all can learn and get a little piece, steal from each other. And so that's I hate to end it on that, but that's all this is about, just learning from each other.
Wow. Very cool. I know, listen, we don't have a lot of time, and I know a couple other things we want to mention, but I do want to get your thought, because I know you're a Skins fan, / Commanders, whatever they call them.
Super Bowl.
Oh, you're feeling it, right?
Super Bowl, baby. Did you see that young boy the other day? Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Sitting on my sofa screaming at the TV.
Right. Did you play any other sports growing up?
Pre-high school I did, so does that count?
Sure,
absolutely.
Okay, so I played football up until high school, and I also played baseball. I played baseball for like 2 years, couldn't hit the damn ball at all, and realized that wasn't for me.
So what do you like about, I mean, I've said to the guys that other than his frame, I don't see any red flags. Now, I'm not some NFL expert. I do have a keen eye for talent. I do believe that, Cakes. But I don't see any red flags. I don't see anything that I don't think this kid can't do.
So far, I would agree with you. I'm not worried about the frame. I mean, he's slight, but he'll be all right. Mm-hmm. He's perceptive. He can see. Deliver the ball. I mean, he's the real deal. And being a Redskins, Washington football team, Commanders fan, you know, we got to celebrate now, because before we possibly might get our hearts broken. So I'm Super Bowl, baby.
Ride the wave.
He's all in. All right, what about the what can we expect from the Wizards? We talked to those guys, Will Dawkins, the other day, and you know this is definitely a process. I mean, are we going to see a market improvement this year, or is it going to be another grind?
You know, it's hard to predict wins and losses. I think you're going to see continued growth. I think to a man, we won 15 games last year, and if you polled all of our players, they all would say they got better. Our player development program is pretty good. They felt good about the season, which you know, 5, 6, 10 years ago, if you tell me a 15-win team at any level and the guys felt good about it, I would think you were crazy. But being here, seeing them understanding the stage that we're in and how we're still going to help them improve, and then sooner or later, and I don't know how to define sooner or later, may not be this year, may not be next year, but the wins are going to come.
Well, Coach Thompson, we appreciate your time and the fact that what you're doing with Monumental as far as district of play. You're providing safe play spaces for kids, empowering players, and engaging parents, coaches, and the community. And that free clinic sounds awesome over the weekend down there at the ESA. Thanks again for coming on.
We're going to get you on again soon.
Anytime, fellas.
All right. Thank you, buddy.
Man, we've always had a great relationship with Coach, huh?
It's a good dude.
He literally loves us.
He does. And he's got a great
Why am I not
up.
Hitting him up?
For what?
I don't know.
Yeah, for what?
Tickets or something.
Tickets?
Because you can go to the guy who doles out the tickets.
Go to JVS.
I mean, JVS likes us, I think. But, yeah, I mean, I think he loves us. I think John loves us.
I think he likes us.
Okay, Drabby?
I think he likes us a good amount.
I think it's bordering on a love affair.
Is he smitten with us?
Yes.
We need more JT3.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, how about he should come on after every game. He really should. Skins game.
Oh, okay.
After Skins games. Not for the Wizards. Skins.
I mean, he's predicting Super Bowl.
No, because he's such a diehard fan. You know, iconic. Yeah. Comes from iconic families. Had an incredible career himself.
Yeah.
Local legend. Ivy League grad.
But how about what he said about his buddies who are coaching that can't stand the NIL?
Said they're basically portal. Sound miserable.
They're miserable. I mean, they're making good money.
Yeah, aside from the paychecks, they're
paychecks
miserable.
Are good, but they're miserable every day.
Right.
Because of how it's changed.
Doesn't sound like
I mean,
a
he
lot
hasn't
of
coached
fun.
In, what, 6 years, 7 years? Think about how much difference, Ben.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming back. I think he's good. I think he's good where he is at this point in his life.
Patrick did 6 years and Cooley won.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yep. Yeah, think about that.
All right, we got to get out of here. We will see you again tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley coming up next here on 106.7 The Fan.